The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented.
You're listening to the best of Ben Armstrong. This show was previously recorded. Join me, Kate Daly, live today at the New American / Kate for more truthful talk. Remember, be faithful, be fearless.
Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. So glad that you have joined me. Shedding from the vax still happening, and excess death continues. And when's the last time you heard about shedding? We haven't talked about shedding in a while, but the fact that that is still in the news, and how you get contradictions out of the CDC, we got to look at what the truth is and give you the truth. And we all know that you're not always getting the truth when it comes to the vaccine or the FDA. Nobody's really wanting to give the truth. But we try to do the best we possibly can to get down to it all. And Dr. Pierre Corey was warning about the excess death and the shedding of the vax. I find it really fascinating because of the shedding that we still don't fully understand, and I'll get into that and explain more into that. But I don't want to waste too much time. There's a lot that they get into. So let's get right into the interview from the New American, Veronica Karolinko, talking about this with Dr. Pierre Corey. Take a listen.
Sure. The CDC says it's a myth. It's not happening. Vaccines don't shed. They don't release their components, but apparently it is not the case, is it?
No, not at all. And yeah, anytime you see fact checkers come out, you got to start wondering why there's so many fact checkers, right? Shedding is one of them. It's interesting that the CDC would say that, because shedding as a term related to vaccines has been used for many years, but it's generally been referred to the live attenuated virus vaccines. So those vaccines are known to shed when you inject someone with it, they can shed viral particles. But the shedding that we're talking about with these vaccines is fundamentally different. It's not about shedding virus. It's about shedding the product of the gene therapy. And so we have, this is where when you talk about shedding, you have to remind ourselves that these are gene therapy products. They meet the definitions of the FDA's definition, the EMA's definition. And gene therapy products, as per the FDA, are known to shed. So the product of whatever genetic material that you inscribe, which or in, inject, which in this case is the spike protein, has a risk of shedding. Now, were shedding studies done? They were not. All we know is through a FOIA request that they did one in lab animals, and I think rats. We don't know the results of them, but which is odd because the FDA from 2015 says that all gene therapy products must undergo human and animal shedding studies. They were not done here.
Think about that. They violated their own rules again. They did not do any of the testing that was required to really get to the bottom of shedding. We know shedding does occur. That we know to what extent is really what it is. And one question that has always been nagging is if you didn't get vaccinated, but you still got sick from the shedding, does that mean that your body was going to be making the spike protein and your cells were instructed to make the spike protein just like someone who's been vaxxed? Or is it that, no, because you didn't get vaxxed, you only got sick, but you didn't get your cells to be instructed to create the spike protein? That one is, I can't give you a 100% answer, but I remember doing shows on this. And what we really could, the closest we could conclude, at least I could come up with, is you're getting sick from the remnant of someone else's spike protein that they made out of their body, but you're not getting the cells that actually produce, that have been instructed by the mRNA. You're not getting those. So you're just getting the sickness. which should make you feel a whole lot better. But I can't say 100% if that's true. Why? Because they refuse to look at it. They refuse to ever make it a concrete thing. And I'm actually telling you, it's actually probably good news that you most likely, if you didn't get vaccinated, would not produce the spike protein, but you still can get sick. You can still obtain the sickness. That's what I came to the conclusion of through all the studies, but I can't give you that as 100%. All right, let's continue on.
And what I did is I wrote a kind of a white paper amassing all of the evidence that we have now of shedding. And we know that they shed it. So what is shedding? So the FDA defines it as the excretion or the release of the product of the gene therapy in any, either through exhalation, fluids, urine, sweat, skin. And I amassed enormous amount of evidence to show that all of those things are happening. And then we have in my practice, and we now have well over 1,000 anecdotes, reports submitted to us of people who have gotten typical vaccine adverse event symptoms after being exposed to a vaccinated person. So it's happening. We know it's happening. I see it in my practice. The only thing we don't know, and I'll kind of finish here, is we don't know what percentage of society is susceptible to shedding. Because in my experience, the people who are susceptible to shedding, they tend to be people with history of environmental sensitivities, like either from mold allergies or allergies or EMF sensitivity or pharmacologic sensitivity, where, you know, they don't do well with pharmaceutical medicines. You have to give them lower doses. So they have these very sensitive constitutions, and they're the ones who report getting ill after close exposures. And it's shocking, because you're talking about one of the most troubling aspects of the vaccine. Well, we're about to get to the next most troubling aspect, but here you're talking about people who've elected to not become vaccinated to protect themselves from experimental therapy, who now are at risk and are getting ill from the choices of others. And that, to me, is the ultimate invasion or violation of bodily autonomy.
Yeah, it is terrible that the people who chose not to get vaccinated still ended up getting COVID-19. That, there's no doubt, I got it. I never got vaccinated, but I did get the COVID-19. I could tell. And it was when I found out that a whole bunch of people that we were around had just gotten vaccinated. And just right after they get vaccinated, all of a sudden I got sick. And I never was sick the whole time. The whole time they were saying that COVID-19 was out there, I never got sick. I only got sick when I was around the vaccinated people. And so I wanted to look into that wholeheartedly, because I was like, I don't want this mRNA in me. I don't think the mRNA goes in you. I think, though, they were producing a sickness, and therefore I did get sick, but I did not get the mRNA. Your cells are being instructed to create the spike protein and all of that junk. So I was battling cancer at this time, even back then. So I look at it as I would have never even made it this far. I'm not even supposed to be alive, and yet God has sustained me. And I'm glad he still is using me. But I believe I would be dead already if I had went and actually got the vaccine. I don't think I would be here. I'm not even, most people would say I'm not even supposed to be here right now. So let alone if I went and actually got vaccinated. Let's move on, though. Lot to cover. Still, very interesting stuff. Take a listen.
Do you think this spike protein that people, vaccinated people, shed can integrate into your DNA similar to what mRNA vaccines can do or not?
So that is an excellent question. I'll tell you why. Because when I talk about the shedding and how some people get symptomatic after exposure, I'm not one of them. I don't get symptoms from exposure. But your question is what bothers me about me, is that I know I don't get sick being around the vaccinated, but am I suffering increased longer term risk, right? Because with this discovery that they're universal, all the vaccines are universally contaminated with DNA plasmids. The plasmids have very scary promoter sequence that have been associated with increased risk in cancers. And I know those plasmids can be exhaled and inhaled by someone else through exosomes. What is happening to me, to you, to anyone? Are we now being, everyone being victimized with increased risk of long? And those are the things that I don't know how to answer. I think only time will tell and more research, but they do not want to do this research.
Well, think of how many years have gone by. We're in 2024 and we still don't have the answers to those questions he just put out there. That can get frustrating. A little more.
Are there any ways to protect oneself from the shedding?
So there are ways of mitigating the symptoms. So my patients were susceptible beyond behavioral social changes, which some of them have had to do, like avoid certain places. I kind of talk about the 4 Ds. You want to avoid places with a high density of people, a small dimension room for a prolonged duration with a poor draft. Those are pretty bad for shedding. But beyond that, we do have medicines that help. So for instance, ivermectin is quite helpful because it binds spike protein. We have different antioxidants, fibrinolytics, things like natokinase, which breaks down spike. So we'll put patients on a regimen of those things, and they definitely report benefits. Not always complete protection, but certainly there are things we can do.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, Dr. Corey. I would like to ask you about the op-ed that you wrote for The Hill in December. It went viral, and you touched on the very concerning issue of declining life expectancy in America and excess mortality among young Americans. Would you please tell us about the data that you used in your research and your main findings?
And let me just start with the punchline, Veronica. These vaccines, these gene therapies, and this global vaccination campaign have unleashed a humanitarian catastrophe of excess death. All of the expected death data that we see, the vast majority can be tied to the vaccination rollout. There's no other competing explanation.
Hi, I'm Kate Daly. Like Ben Armstrong, I have no parameters or politically correct talking points. I say the things people are afraid to say out loud. Join me live today at the New American / Kate. Remember, be faithful, be fearless.
Yeah, now that he's into the excess death, and it is amazing that, like he's saying, we didn't have excess death until the vaccine. And then you can easily tie the excess death to the vaccine. This excess death continues to this day. Every year, we can look at the stats and know we have massive amounts of excess death. But guess what? It gets worse than just excess death. It went down in age group. And we're going to get into that. And I don't want to. He's going to talk about that, and I'll break it down when he talks about that. So let me go back to Dr. Pierre Corey. Take a listen.
So we know the vaccines are the cause, but the scale is just almost incomprehensible to behold. And so in that most recent op-ed, and keep in mind, that was my third op-ed. So I wrote one in August in USA Today, in November in Newsweek. And then the one on The Hill, like you said, it got a lot of attention. That was our first time that we published in a kind of center-left publication that's read by everyone in Washington. And so it got a lot of attention. But, you know, one of the statistics that I put in now, which I think really got people's attention, is that in the first 9 months of 2023, 158,000 Americans died above predicted. So these are unexplained. There's no real reason why suddenly 158,000 people would die. Now, there are a lot of things that can cause death. We know there's an opiate epidemic, but we've also known that for 10 years. That's part of the predictions. We know that there are things like accidents. Sometimes some cancers are on the rise. There's COVID. But when you look at the cause of death, none of them go far to explain why suddenly so many people are dying. And more importantly, it's young people. Young people don't die. It's old people who die, right? I mean, without exception, some young people can die deaths of despair or accidents, but they're dying of medical causes now at rates they never have before.
Yes, at rates they have never died before, young people. It went with old people at the very, very, very beginning. And then it went to young people and the excess death, it's absurd that it is the young people who are dying. Working age class is what is considered young, to be honest with you. But I mean, but in all categories, we've had excess death rise in all categories. And that alone tells you, whoa, something unnatural has happened that has never happened in the history of the world. And it is obviously excess death because people's immune systems were damaged by the vaccine. And we know that it damages the immune system. And the more you get it, we know the worse it can be for you. I used to say it's like playing Russian roulette. You get jabbed 6 times, the odds are you're not going to make it very far. If you've gotten jabbed 6 times, each time you get jabbed, the more likely something's going to happen to you. Let's continue on.
Healthiest members of society. When you look at the data from the life insurance industry, it's literally white collar are dying far more often than gray collar or blue collar. And they started dying in 2021 in the third quarter when all those mandates proliferated. So one of the things I always ask is, what happened in the American workplace in the third quarter of 2021 to cause all of these highly employed, healthiest members of society to die suddenly? And no one's asking that question. No one's trying to ask the question. It's being roundly ignored by our agencies. And they have every incentive to why they're doing that. Why would they want to talk about something that they promoted, that they propelled, that caused so much immense death? They would have to hold themselves responsible and accountable. And I don't know that there's a history of people in authority doing that.
No, they don't want to hold themselves accountable. But think about what he said, who the people are. The white-collar people are the ones in the workforce that have the most excess death, even more than the blue-collar or other areas of society. And then you have to think, well, why would that be? Why would the white-collar be even more? Well, I look at it and think, well, they're more likely to be your college graduates. More likely, which means they're more likely to have been brainwashed into liberalism, one of the things. But even without that, forget they're more likely to obey. Well, I guess because of their liberalism, if they have that, they're more likely to obey whatever the government says compared to like that blue-collared guy working a blue-collared job and says, screw you. I make my own decision. I'm not going to just follow and do what you say. But so you got to factor in what type of person would more likely blindly follow what the CDC says. I guess that's the way the FDA and the CDC says this. Who's more likely to blindly follow that, a white collar or a blue collar? And you can break it up and see how it goes. You understand what I'm saying. Let's go back to Dr. Pierre Corey, though.
What's your? You conclude your op-eds with a call to Congress to investigate the pandemic response and see what's worked and what didn't work. Do you see that the Congress is up to this job?
I don't know what else to argue, though. I do think what I want to communicate is they are responsible. They were elected in power to protect us. They're supposed to represent our interests. And who else can I go to? My cynicism knows no bounds because I do also understand that they're controlled by other incentives. And so I don't think that the incentives are there to support us, but I want to make them uncomfortable. I want them to, you know, if they have a conscience that they go to bed at night knowing that they have overseen an unprecedented death rate. You know, from the words of CEOs of the life insurance, they said they have never seen death rates this high. They didn't say outside of wartime, but I would argue outside of wartime, we've never seen young people dying that they're doing now. And yet there's no concerted attention or investigation by our public health agencies.
Thank you so much for, you know.
Yeah. How do we ignore it the way that we have? Because we actually do know the answer. We do know for a fact, yet your immune system is damaged. I right at the beginning, when they started saying that your immune system is damaged and it acts like AIDS, and I remember seeing that headline for the first time, and I'm like, what? That's over the top. People, I wondered if I was even going to run the story, because I was one of the first to talk about how the vaccine actually acts like AIDS, but they called it VAIDS. But what is AIDS? See, it's a scary word, but it's basically your immune system being damaged. But then you look at, well, what did Dr. Fauci specialize in? AIDS research. And here's the guy whose number one specialty is to research how the immune systems get damaged, how it all functions, how it all works. And then you have a vaccine now that was able to basically damage people's immune systems without killing you per se right away, but making you susceptible to all kinds of sicknesses. It would have been the ultimate weapon if you come up with that. And to me, I was like, it looks like that's what they came up with. And so we've lived with this for years and years and years. Years and years and years, and we're still having no true concrete answers about certain things that they know, but they can't admit to anymore, and they're never going to. So I'm not going to tell you that we're going to be able to hold these people accountable. So I would just put my faith in God, put my faith that God is going to handle everything. Whether you've been vaxxed or not, you're worried about all the different things that could happen. Yeah, put your faith in God. He's got to get you through it. No matter your situation, folks, in this day and age, what we're living through in America, all the outside threats in America, and then you add in, we're still battling the COVID jabs. You combine that with what's happening out in the world, and everything is going in the opposite direction that you and I would ever want to happen. But it's the truth. It is going in the opposite direction. Therefore, I would hope you would learn that that's a warning sign that God wants you to not waste time anymore and accept him as your personal savior. I hope you do that and repent forevermore. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya.
Hey, old peeps, like and subscribe to my father's channel. Bye. Ow.
You're listening to the best of Ben Armstrong. This show was previously recorded. Join me, Kate Daly, live today at the New American / Kate for more truthful talk. Remember, be faithful, be fearless.
Hey guys, if you like what you're hearing in my show, you need to check out one of the other great shows from thenewamerican.com, and that is Behind the Deep State with Alex Newman. Have you checked it out yet? If you haven't, you will love it. If you like me, for sure, you're going to love Alex Newman as he gets deep into Behind the Deep State and all the shadiness, of course, that we know is going on. Awesome interviews. I mean, just massive information. And you really can't find a better dive into the deep state than what Alex Newman does. So go check it out at thenewamerican.com.